Welcome to the Power Press Podcast. My name is Mackenzie Bennett, and I'm your host on this podcast. We share information to empower your podcast. Today, I have Steve and Dave Lee from the International Podcast Day team on the show with me. Thanks for being here, guys.
Well, good morning. How are you, Mackenzie?
I am wishing I had another brownie for breakfast.
Yeah, we were talking before the show because Dave Lee decided to do this at 6:30 in the morning. And what did we have for breakfast? And it was quite an interesting pre-show discussion.
I mean, never turned down a brownie.
No.
Ever.
I looked at my options of a banana and an apple and a brownie and like granola toast, and I chose the brownie. That seemed like a solid Friday decision to me.
It's also the easiest to consume and the yummiest.
Yeah,
so
it was. Yeah. That was the thing that I could eat the easiest in my car.
Exactly.
But yes, it's very early for you guys, so thank you for doing this with me.
Not a problem.
We're going to talk about International Podcast Day because that is coming up very, very soon. And then I wanted to talk about some podcasting news. Last week, there was quite a few announcements and then another one earlier this week. So they all concern what people would really consider big networks and big players in the podcasting space, but essentially Panoply is out and down for the count in terms of content. iHeartMedia bought a huge network, and then earlier this week BuzzFeed decided to shut down their podcast as well. So there's a lot going on.
Yeah, there has been a lot going on. And when you look at the Panoply shakeup, where they're completely getting out of the content creation sector, you know, completely, it's pretty interesting. I do feel bad for a lot of the creators, a lot of the producers and the podcasters within that network. That is, I think they have jobs until essentially the end of the month, which doesn't give them a whole lot of time. I don't know, Panoply is shifting essentially their business focus to move away from content and podcasting, which is unfortunate. I do know that, you know, there was a couple shows on the Panoply network that I really liked. But also, as I've been doing a little bit more research and listening to some of the other people that were following the Panoply network, there was, to some extent, a lot of mistakes made by there. There was some basic editing that was missing in some of them. Mm-hmm. Some of the shows were simply boring, you know, and some of them actually, a lot of them didn't keep their topics fresh enough, relevant enough. And I'm not sure if they saw a massive decrease in the downloads or what the decision was ultimately. I know podcast hosting is a big thing for them, and also, you know, the targeted and marketed advertising. But it was a shock to hear because, you know, you do have a number of the larger, quote unquote, larger shows, more popular ones. But there's a number of independent podcasters that are on that network as well that kind of leave them high and dry when it comes to, you know, the ad revenue and in the marketing side. So it was a bit of a, I don't know if disappointment's the right word, but it was definitely a surprise to see a player who's been to all the major conferences and has been a player in the space for the last couple of years just essentially fold its doors and walk away. That was pretty surprising to me.
I think that they were headed more towards advertising money. I think that's what they're more interested in. All of the points that you made are accurate and are definitely taking play into why they decided to move away, but I think they realized the amount of time and effort that we're putting into this, we're not getting back in advertising dollars. So they just decided to go do something else, which is, like you said, a little disappointing, but also not surprising. I guess that's my take on it.
Well, whoever came up with the name, however you pronounce it, Panoply, is that right?
Panoply.
Okay, pronounce it however you like.
I know.
To be honest with you, I've never heard of them. And I've been around, you know, a couple years. But here's the real bottom line is that when we talk about this specific industry and what these media companies are and what they do, it's about money, period. Mm-hmm. It's not like Dave and I's podcast. It's not like the majority of anything. Larger endeavors that there has to be a decent amount of return on the investment. And for some of them, that is just not happening. Now, for these specific ones, it's kind of sad that they had just announced, all their new upcoming shows and all this kind of stuff. But that's the way the industry is, you know, especially if you're loaded behind some kind of larger media company. You know, you take iHeartMedia, for example. They they have some money. And they're willing to right now gamble and certainly go out and obtain all the underscore stuff shows and that whole Medium platform. It's going to be interesting because I'm not sure that buying out those kind of individual, let's just call them podcast companies, is really worth the investment. Okay. I think it was $55 million they bought it for. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you, in today's world, that's a pretty low number for, you know, buying some kind of media content creation and distribution company. As where you mentioned BuzzFeed, and BuzzFeed is very interesting because they're pretty much axing the podcasting space to do something that Dave and I talk about quite a bit on our show, which is creating their own content for distribution in a video base. Mm-hmm. And for BuzzFeed, I think that makes kind of sense for them. So we're seeing multiple companies with multiple strategies, but as you read between all the lines with all of them, it comes down to money.
I think because Panoply is Slate, like Slate Media, and they're huge online. They don't have a print edition or anything like that, but they most likely weren't making enough money in an industry where they're already having trouble making money. iHeartMedia has money to burn, so they'd rather take a chance and spend $55 million and buy something and see if it works, and as opposed to paying tax on that money. And then BuzzFeed is like, all right, well, this content works, but let's just change it into video because that obviously is working better for us than the audio.
Yeah, I mean, with BuzzFeed right now, video is the thing, right? We you know, Facebook Watch is growing, mm-hmm. on-demand video is growing. Everybody is pushing towards video, and rightfully so. I mean, we've even seen some of the bigger sports like Fox Sports Broadcasting have moved completely away from written journalism to video journalism for their websites. There's no written content at all, and so it's not surprising. I mean, BuzzFeed has an amazing following. Again, it's disappointing because BuzzFeed has produced some high-level, highly entertaining, and really good quality podcasts over the years. But the whole, I think, Mackenzie, you hit it perfectly, where Slate knows its future. It knows where it can make some money. Mm-hmm. Even Jason Weisberg, who's been at Slate for 22 years, is actually departing from Slate to launch a new audio company with Malcolm Gladwell, where they're going to make two or three of their shows, and they're going to create their own new audio company. So you're seeing some of the big guys that are losing some talent, spinning off and creating their own audio company. And I think the reason they're doing that is because the likes of Malcolm Gladwell, Jason Weisberg, they're doubling down on content. They're not doubling down on ad revenue, or they're not doubling down on, you know, their user base. They are understanding that if you double down on your content and you create amazing shows week after week, something that's compelling, something that's interesting, something that touches people, that is ultimately the true test of the success of an individual podcast, a podcast network. And so, yes, where iHeartMedia is buying stuff media for $55 million, by no means chump change within the podcasting space, but overall business acquisition-wise, very small. But these shifts are going to happen. I mean, we're 14, 15 years into podcasting. We knew this was going to come. Overall, I don't know if this is really, if you want to call it like a formal restructuring of podcasts, because I don't know if the podcast industry really has a quote unquote structure that it's built upon, but this is what you're going to have with a growing industry, is seeing who's willing to stick it out through the long haul and who's willing to, or who's not willing to do that and say, okay, we're just going to focus on XYZ. And for some people within their business model, as you mentioned, Mackenzie, makes sense for those to do that.
Mm-hmm. I was talking with a friend about this, like the day that the Slate, Panoply, and iHeartMedia happened last week. And, you know, literally earlier that day, we had been talking about how one thing can kind of shake up this industry because we're so, like, it's still so small. In a normal day-to-day basis, in, like, film or TV or music, something like this wouldn't stand out so much. But it's also kind of nice to see something along these lines happening, to see that these companies are even involved in podcasting. I mean, it goes to show how far it's come, at least, and how quickly that things can change when organizations of these sizes decide yes or no.
You know, it's interesting with BuzzFeed. Dave, you and I always have a good laugh at various titles that people in corporations are now giving. And with BuzzFeed's Chief Revenue Officer, there's another new one.
I've never heard that one.
A CRO. You know, they have lost about, well, their target revenue for within the podcasting space of $350 million. That's a heck of a lot of money. And when you're talking about those kinds of volumes of monetary transactions, it's not something like for us to sit back and go, oh, look at my numbers. They're really down based on listenership, where they're actually talking big dollars and cents. Yeah. So certainly they have to make those kind of drastic decisions and implementations to keep their world spinning within the dollars.
Yeah, it's interesting points that you both bring up, Mackenzie. I think yours is well taken too, is that, you know, it's cool to see these shakeups, right? I don't know if it necessarily means much as far as still a young, youthful, growing, enterprising type of industry, but it's cool to see these type of things make headlines. They're being talked about. They're getting out there in the public's eye. So even if somebody isn't into podcasts yet, they're like, what is this podcast shakeup? Maybe they read a title, or maybe they see a news article that's going to spawn some interest in them putting their earphones in it and subscribing and listening. So, you know, this consolidation, this reorganization, restructuring, whatever the word is you want to use to kind of categorize and define this, I think it's good, as you mentioned, it's good for a young industry to sort of see these things, to figure out which companies are in there for the long haul. And rightfully so, there are different dynamics to the podcasting industry, right? There's listeners, there's podcasters, there's hosting, there's advertising, there's a number of segments, and there's a place within the industry for different companies that specialize in those. And so to see Panoply remove their content and focus on one, okay, that's their future. That's where they want to go. Where Slate wants to go, where the new spinoffs want to go, that's great too. iHeartMedia has a catalog of about 20,000 podcasts on their apps already. So you know they're fully invested in distributing that content to users. So I think regardless of what's going on here, it's good to see that people are figuring out their space and what they specialize in within the podcast industry as a whole.
That's a great wrap up of it.
Now, there's a reason I have Dave Lee as a co-host of our show. It's because he can talk and I can sit back and listen and take credit for it.
That's fantastic. Actually, how long have you guys been doing your show?
I think, Dave, you were still in junior high. And you're what, 37 now?
Yeah, I'm 37. I think Steve and I, that's funny. I think we hit record, what, March 1st, 2007, 2008? Seven. Yeah, 2007. So we've been doing 11 years. We laid down episode 417 of the Waves of Tech last Monday. And there's no end in sight for us. And so it's been 11 years of father-son partnership.
Wow.
And pretty fun. I mean, what started is just Steve was out of town, wanted to stay connected with his family. So we'd hop on Skype and talk tech and life. And then he sent, at the time my brother was on it, and unbeknownst to us, he hit the record button once and then sent us the audio file and was like, hey, I think we're going to do a podcast. And so that is, it's been an amazing ride. So yeah, 11 years running.
That's amazing. Congrats, guys. Okay, you've been doing that for 11 years, and you've been doing, I'm going to move into the International Podcast Day because I really want to talk about that. How you've been doing International Podcast Day for 5 years, is that correct? 5 or 4, or am I wrong?
Yeah, it's been 5 years. We originally started in 2014 as National Podcast Day, which was only a brief 6-hour celebration here within the States. And the day after we ended that celebration, we instantly rebranded it International Podcast Day because we realized that, you know, podcasting, of course, is not geofenced. There's no boundaries here. And so we learned that, you know, Australia, New Zealand, Eastern Europe, the United Kingdom, Brazil all had growing and thriving podcast spaces going on. And so, yeah, we've been doing it. This will be our 5th year as of doing this event and this celebration. Excited to bring it again. We have 16 countries represented with over 40 podcasters from around the world, everywhere from New Zealand to India, China, Trinidad and Tobago. We have Puerto Rico this year, cool. Italy, Canada, Poland, United Arab Emirates, the Philippines. Lord, I can go on, you know, Ireland, France, Argentina. We have just a wide variety of countries represented, and some amazing podcasters are going to be sharing their knowledge and just sharing their expertise with the podcasting community.
So out of the, okay, for I am fully aware of what International Podcast Day is, and I assume some of my listeners are, but for those who are not, can you give them a brief, this is what International Podcast Day is?
Yeah, let me go to the about page on our website. I'm actually teasing. It's not easy to be funny this early in the morning, however. Here's kind of the baseline, the preference of International Podcast Day. And International Podcast Day has certainly many facets and components to it, whether it's the worldwide stream that we do. Mm-hmm. But the most important aspect of International Podcast Day is a day of celebration and revitalizing the passion that we as podcasters have for our craft, our art, in whether it's content creation or where the case may be, and also from a perspective of evangelizing podcasts to get more of the world involved, whether it's podcasting themselves, whether it's just an interest, whether it's from a listener participation, but to really pull in all those various sites of podcasting and let the world, let everybody else know that, hey, here we are, we're celebrating it. If you want to know more, come on in and get involved with this, and we'll kind of take you down the road.
Do you guys do, so obviously there's a lot of buildup for the day at the end of September, but during the year, do you guys do anything to kind of keep the community going or anything like that?
Yeah, we stay pretty active on social media, and that's part of it is, you know, our celebration that we organize is really only 2 days, September 29th and September 30th, right? And so we have 363 other days that we want to encourage people to either get into podcasting. But part of it is, you know, being present on social media, sharing in people's celebrations, whether it's a milestone of their fifth episode, their 100th episode, their 500th episode, connecting with people that go to podcast conferences, whether that's a larger one that's out of state or just something here locally. And I think that's really important because, you know, keeping the mantra and the brand of International Podcast Day is important, right? It's difficult day in and day out to continue to spread the word sometimes, right? It's we all have our busy lives. We're all doing our own podcasts. There's a number of things. So the more we can get out there and celebrate in everybody's achievements, and also one of the cool things is that over the last 5 years, Steve and I have come in contact with amazing podcasters, a lot of people within the industry that are good resources. So when we're out there on social media or people email us directly, we're able to put them in contact with individuals that we know. Okay, are you looking to create better interviews? Go talk to Anne-Marie Cross from Australia. Are you looking for some technical assistance? Go talk to this person. Are you looking for ways to monetize, grow your audience, whatever it is? So essentially throughout the year, being a resource for a lot of the podcasters that are out there, whether it's the newcomers, ones that are veterans, or somewhere that's somewhere in the middle there. So the beauty, and I'll follow up on Steve's point, is that, yeah, we have our 30-hour live stream that we put together that we encourage everybody to come to our website, check out, follow along, join the chat, learn as much as you can as a podcaster and as a podcast listener. But it's amazing to see these sort of international meetups and social events that are planned on this day. I know in Chicago, there's two podcast marathons that are going on, somewhere around anywhere from 13 to 30 hours of live podcasting that are fundraising for Connor's Cure, which is an amazing nonprofit organization in the Midwest. There's a Women in Podcasting Festival happening in Chicago as well. There's Middle Eastern meetups going on. I just ran across a Indian podcasters meetup that's happening on September 30th. There's meetups in Poland, in New Zealand. Here within the States, there's Pittsburgh. They're having a great podcast festival in Winnipeg, Canada. And these are things that people simply plan just out of a reason to celebrate and get their fans and their listeners and their hosts together. And I think it's amazing that people create events to celebrate International Podcast Day. And that's ultimately what it's about. Find your way to celebrate and share the craft that we love and that we continue to pursue and improve year after year.
So Blueberry is one of the sponsors for the event, which means we have 2 hours where we're going to have like the sessions, because you guys have the whole streaming, like 2 days of that. And so we have One of them is called Podcast Best Practices and Common Mistakes, and that's going to be, I believe, Todd and Mike. That is the plan, as far as I know, but that's going to be them talking about kind of some do's and don'ts of this is going to work out best for you, this is not going to work out best for you, and if you did this, this is how you would fix it type of thing. And then Todd is doing his own from 6 to 7, and it is growth focus for your community, because he's been doing this since 2005, and that is one of the main things that he is focused on the entire time, was make sure I have a community of people. Like, he's like, the more listeners I have, great. But if I'm not like interacting with those people that are participating and, you know, taking in my info, and like I don't hear back from them and whatnot, he's like, that's the part that he wants to focus on. So he's going to be talking about that.
Let's also not forget about the podcast awards from Raw Voice, which will be from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific time on the 30th. So certainly that's something to, if nothing else, come and watch the podcast awards, because it's a great spectacle.
Yeah, we're always excited to have Blueberry on board. I mean, the likes, Mackenzie, I know you've been on our event before. Mm-hmm. Having Mike Dell and Sean Thorpe, and also, of course, Todd in there. If you're a podcaster out there, these are sessions you have to tune into. If you can't catch it live, we'll be sharing the replays. You can find them on our YouTube page or our homepage as well. But these are things that these are actionable items, right, guys, that you can take away. You can improve your podcast instantly. And that's what I love about having Blueberry on board, is that you're going to learn the best practices. You're going to learn mistakes that you want to avoid. You're going to learn how to focus and grow your community and your audience and engage with them. So actionable takeaways that you can take and implement immediately. And it's not one of those things where you have to sit through a course, you know, and you know, you got to do all these X, Y, Z before this can happen. No, these are things you can take away right away. The session ends, boom, get on your website, make those updates, you know, start a newsletter, whatever these best practices are that you guys are going to share. It's these are amazing tools and a resource for podcasters around. Do not miss those. They're going to be awesome to be a part of.
Also, something that Todd likes to focus on is, yes, we encourage people to do these types of things with our services, but you aren't required to be using our services to make those actionable things that you were just talking about actually happen. Like, you're not relying on one specific feature that we provide that, you know, Libsyn doesn't or Podbean doesn't or something like that. These are things that are going to work regardless of where you are, because we're just trying to level the playing field and make sure everyone has the same correct information across the board.
Could I piggyback on that 1 second? Because I think that's really important. I think this is the third year that Blueberry has been the platinum sponsor for International Podcast Day. And certainly one of the things I truly appreciate and really love is that, you know, you're more than welcome to advance your products and services during this, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But the approach has always been about podcasters, not about my company. And although that's perfectly legit and fine, and in some respects should be done, the thing I really appreciate is the organization is really out there distributing information and ideas for podcasters, podcasting, the industry, on a more generic playing field. And I truly appreciate that.
And we have to remember that, yes, all these actionable tools and the talking points you just made, Steve, it's to improve your podcast as a podcaster, so that you can improve the listening experience for your listener, and you can improve the access that you have, or that listeners can have to you too, right? So we can't forget there's the other side of the coin there, that the reason we are doing this is to improve our content and our podcast, so that those that have our voices in their heads throughout the day are having a more enjoyable and entertaining experience. And I think that's something that sometimes gets lost in the mix, where we want to improve our show, but why are we improving it? It's about bridging that gap and connecting with that community and your audience, and creating a much better experience for the listener day in and day out.
I'm coming off of last week. I went to 2 separate women-specific conferences. One was the day one and the other was 2 days, but one was Women in Tech and the other was Women in Digital. And I spoke at one of them on podcasting, and it was more so, it wasn't a typical session. It was, I give info on what Blueberry does and what I do at Blueberry and kind of what we make available. And then after that, it was question and answer. And the questions that people were asking were sometimes like so simple because they literally know nothing about podcasting, but they were so challenging to hear at the same time of like, oh, wow, that is a really good idea. I want to talk more about you with that. And so it was really nice to be in that diverse environment of someone knows this, but at the same time, also be in a room of females because that is not the experience that I have always at podcasting conferences. So how Absolutely. Have you guys focused on integrating diversity into your event?
Well, that is actually one thing, Mackenzie. I'm glad you brought that up, is because I had a moment of self-reflection. I believe it was in 2015 mm-hmm. when I looked at our speaker list and I was like, I did not do well this year. I was like, I was definitely not diverse enough. I did not reach out to podcasters to get a representative speaker list and schedule list of those that are in the podcasting space, right? And so Steve and I put upon ourselves from 2016 forward to have a very well-diverse, great mix-up of podcasters from around the world, you know, covering all demographics, covering male and female. And year in and year out, we are proud to say that 50%, we have a good 50-50 split with males and females on our list. And it's something we reach out to. We take it seriously to make sure that we represent properly those that are mm-hmm. in the podcasting space. Like you said, there's the Women in Podcasting Festival that's happening in Chicago in October. And you see the women only podcast sessions at, say, like Podcast Movement and PodCon and a variety of those things. And it is a growing industry or mm-hmm. segment of the industry. And, mm-hmm. and you cannot ignore that. And that's something we don't want to do, is to have that. Why aren't you representing those that are truly representing the podcasting space? And so that is something that I know Steve and I take very seriously. It's something that we've worked on year after year, because just like everybody, it's easy to get into our bubble and think, this is what I would like our event to be. But it's more, what does the event need to be for the entire industry? It needs to be representative. It needs to be diverse. It needs to have a wide variety of speakers and topics. And I think the more you reach out to that diverse audience, that's when you get the diversity within your topics and your mm-hmm. conversations. And I think so, it kind of goes hand in hand. Steve, if you want to add anything else, I'll let you hear.
See, that's why you're the talker and I just kind of hang around. I love it. I love what you said, because it is part of the stream and the diversity. One of the coolest things that I look forward to every year is when some of our speakers host their session in their own language. I can't understand a word, but it's so intriguing. It's so interesting. And I think I consume those more than any of the others, because it's just cool. And you can see the chat room kind of changing from perhaps an English spoken session over to something in German or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so the chat room will change and start being in German. And it's just insane. I love it. But, you know, those of us that are in the industry, that are podcasting, we look at it as a whole and we go, wow, look where we've come. Look how big it is. I'm not sure that's true. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is our friends in Poland a couple years ago created a video. It's kind of like the man on the street kind of thing. And so they were walking down the street and they would stop people and ask people what their favorite podcast was. And nobody could answer. Nobody knew what a podcast was. And go over to our website and you can actually watch that video. And it kind of opens up that we are still small in scope. We are still narrow in focus. We have not reached that plateau of the world knowing that podcasting is XYZ, as we're TV and radio. We have a full understanding of its medium. So that's part of why we are doing this, is for a promotional kick in the rear to get the word out that this medium does exist and it's cool. And here are the advantages to you. What do you love? What's your hobby? What are you into? Here's how mobile it can be. Here's how easy it is to get this content. And by golly, majority of it's free. That's the cool thing about podcasting.
That is definitely one of my favorite parts of podcasting, and is part of the reason why I tell everyone about it. you know, I am one of those people that I want podcasting to get as big as all of these other mediums that we are used to. But sometimes I don't know if everyone else feels that way. Because, like, I grew up so immersed in media and can see the possibilities and the positives and negatives. And I want to see it reach that point. But there is that part of me that thinks, oh, well, you know, it's such an intimate medium that maybe by reaching that top level, it won't be that way anymore. But I don't know if it'll stick around at the level that I want it to of the great content that I want it to if it doesn't continue to move up like that.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought, Mackenzie, because it's true. It's like I would like to see the point where you no longer have to explain what a podcast is, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that you guys at Blueberry do. That's one thing that is a real point of interest for International Podcast Day is everybody knows what TV is. Everybody knows what radio is. Everybody knows what Netflix is, Hulu. Mm-hmm. We need to get to the point where podcasts is just something that you don't have to explain to anybody. And it's like, finally, we've made it. When you don't have to explain to somebody what AM was or FM was, it's like, okay, it's everybody knows what it is. And we're getting to the point, right? But I do think, as you see, kind of going back to the first couple stories, is that sometimes they get in their own bubble and they want to see the success of their programming only. You know, it's perfectly fine. That's your business model. That's what you want to do. But as a community, as a full 100% invested industry, how do we get to the point where we know we don't lose that intimacy, we don't lose that passion, but also continue to grow the media where it just becomes second nature to everybody? And that's what I would like to see. We are going to get there, but again, we're only 14, 15 years into this. We're an awkward teenager right now, and there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of things to learn and a lot of movement to be had. But individuals like Blueberry and what we're doing with the International Podcast Day, that's one of the focuses, to drive that forward and really just share and build that medium which we all love so dearly.
It's a much bigger challenge than I think people realize, because we've always had. Okay, well, not all, we've always, obviously, but when TV came out, and then when, you know, movies came out with sound and color, and when FM and radio or FM and AM, all of these things were so popular. It's because before that, they didn't have anything that was pre-recorded. They didn't have anything that had the sound and the movement together. That was very new. That was a new thing, and everyone was enthralled with it, and it was something that not everyone could get. And it was, you know, the fancy thing that you got, and now everyone has it. And now it's just part of your day-to-day lives. And now adding this new medium that you're already so used to in the sense of, I have content and electricity and internet around me 24/7, 365 days a year, is you have that constant hump to get over of saying, this is a legitimate source of good content that you will like more than that terrible, terrible sitcom you're watching on ABC on Thursday evenings or whatever it is of, you know, go do this instead. There's always going to be that, I think, because it's a new medium. We started so late in the game of available content.
And also, you got to think about the competition that's at play too, right? As mm-hmm. you mentioned, there's still radio in play, there's still TV, there's satellite, there's broadcast, but also there's you know, audiobooks, and there's, you know, we talked about BuzzFeed video, and there's all these social media apps. There's a lot more competition out there to get your eyes and ears, right? From video mm-hmm. content to audio content. And Steve, I know we've talked about that a number of times on our shows. It's just where do you put your time and where do you put your effort? Are you going to give yourself 6 hours a day to listen to podcasts, or are you going to do 2 hours of podcast, 2 hours of Hulu, and 2 hours of sports entertainment? You know, and Steve, I know we've struggled with that just internally, because I just want to listen to podcasts 24/7, but there's other things I want to consume. And I think that's where, as Mackenzie, you said, podcasting is trying to fit into the space, but there's a lot of competition compared to when TV came on. That was the only thing you had. So that was your consumption of choice. And now you just have so many options out there.
So for me, it's like hokey pokey turned myself around. And unfortunately, I can remember the first time I ever saw color TV because it was all black and white. And I had an uncle that had money and he got a color TV. And it was like, there's nothing else in the world that can ever match this. And it's kind of that same thing right now. But I will say that for me personally, and I think that's part of what drives us for International Podcast Day, the podcasts that I love and cherish and are involved with weekly to put inside my ears are the independently recorded, processed podcasts from an individual basis, because podcasting, if you choose, gives everybody a voice. Mm-hmm. And personally, I don't want to hear it from conglomerations, from big business. I want to hear it from people in the bowels of life, struggles they're having, happinesses they're having, maybe breakthroughs in technology that they've done, whatever the case may be. I want to hear it on that personal level. And to me, that's what excites me about it. I think that's something that's really going to assist in building the community and the longevity of podcasting.
Well said. Yeah.
Year after year, you've been doing this, and I know you're going to come up with something new to focus on next year as you prepare, but what was one of the challenges of this year? Because I know, I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, but very quickly, right before the date, you had a technological issue that you had to scramble and take care of.
It was more than an issue.
Yeah, that was last year.
It was all of it, basically.
It was everything. It's every year's a challenge in the production, because as we know, these medium platforms come and go like hotcakes. And as we develop a structure and a methodology to produce the content every year, there is normally some kind of, I gotcha, whether they go out of business, whether they just turn the service off for us, whether we put something incorrectly into a YouTube description that gets us banned.
Yeah, I did that.
Yeah, Dave, oops.
Good job, Dave.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
You know, when you spell boys with the Z,
It
gets flagged and down you come.
I can take a guess as to why.
Yes. So when it comes to that, it becomes stressful and complex. And last year was incredibly stressful, to be real honest with you, because we had no other means. And I do want to give a shout out to our longtime friend, our great supporter, and definitely one of the originating members of Podcast Day, Daniel J. Lewis, who has just been our rock and our backbone in helping us through many, many difficult times. And so we came up with a method to do it last year. It was kind of cumbersome. It was complex, but we think we have it under control. But every year it's a massive challenge to put on this event.
Yeah, for me personally this year, it's been surprisingly smooth. And I will caveat that Murphy's Law does happen every year.
True.
But, you know, the schedule came together nicely. You know, we didn't have too many barriers with trying to fill spots at the last minute. Unfortunately, something comes up every year for one of our speakers that we've invited on, and we have to kind of rush to find somebody to fill in. So that's an inevitable challenge that you want to have something on the back burner as far as, okay, moving forward, this is someone we can always count on. That's always said, if you need me, give me 10 minutes, I'll be there, which is awesome, right? But there hasn't been any major challenges for me this year, and that's actually freed me up surprisingly to do more with our newsletter, do a little bit more social media, reach out to a number of different sponsors. And so some years, like last year, was very difficult. We got super consumed with the technology side of it, and I mean our schedule when is planned. But this year, it's actually been nice where I've grown a little bit as a podcaster and as an event planner because we haven't had that many significant challenges. So we're gonna have something this year. It just hasn't come up yet, but it'll probably be associated with somebody that has to cancel some sort of family emergency. It's happened every year, so it's something we know to plan for. And I think that's the beauty of it. Just as a podcaster, you have challenges, you learn from it, you have another angle and something on the back burner, as I said, to kind of push you forward and make sure that you kind of shield yourself from the unexpected as much as you can.
I'm glad you're mentally prepared for that.
You have to. It's rough. It is, because you're like, okay, everything's smooth. someone throws a bomb on it, you know, and that falls upon my shoulders and Steve's shoulders to make sure our event runs as smoothly in front of everybody. If chaos happens behind the scenes, that's for us to manage. But you're right. I've mentally prepared for it. Physically, I've prepared for it to avoid the heart attack at like 3 a.m. in the morning, our time, if someone can't make it. So yeah, it's just part of what we signed up for. But it comes, of course, with an amazing award at the end of our celebration.
Every September, my doctor doubles my medications.
That's terrible. I don't know if you're joking, but...
No, I'm not.
I'm sure for someone that would be true.
I'll send you a picture. It's September.
Okay. So International Podcast Day, starting September 29th, because you are inclusive, and it is more than 24 hours, because you know the day does not start in Pacific Standard Time.
Exactly.
that's a tough one to always explain every year. International Podcast Day is the 30th, but it starts on the 29th. What's up? Okay, I'll try to explain it. When we start the live stream,
yeah,
it's actually the 30th in New Zealand.
Right.
Like, so, yeah, it gets complex, let me tell you.
I think I have just like a firmer grasp on it, simply because when I talk to Todd every day, it is 7 a.m. for him, and I'm about to go leave for lunch. So I understand that exactly. Not everything is the same.
Todd lets you guys have lunch breaks?
Well, you know, I just leave because I am that person.
Hey, Todd, I know you're listening, so we need to have a little chat about that.
No, he's very good about that. So I'm looking forward to International Podcast Day, Saturday and Sunday. So this episode is Monday the 24th.
We're pathetic. We can't even read a calendar.
So this upcoming weekend, people, please participate and, you know, share online and everything. You guys have a great social media presence as well. So I'm looking forward to it. And thank you again for putting it on.
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate you having us on this podcast. And yeah, we do encourage everybody head over to internationalpodcastday.com. Use the hashtag International Podcast Day. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're all over the place. And of course, it's just not about us. It's about how people are celebrating. Get out there, connect with your favorite podcasters, go out there and rate and review, schedule a little meetup with some of your podcast friends, or if you want to have a podcast listening party, there's so many ways to celebrate. There's so many great ways and benefits of being involved. And yeah, thanks again for having us on the show. We're really looking forward to our fifth edition of International Podcast Day, and it continues to grow. And thanks to the community of podcasting, because, you know, Steve came up with this idea, and the community has really taken a hold and they've really embraced it. And for that, we're eternally grateful, because it's been an amazing event to plan year in and year out.
Sometimes I wish I hadn't invented it, but
it's just for the month of September.
Matter of fact, I need to go see my doctor.
Yeah, get your medicine.
Go do that, please. Please, we need you to last. We need you around.
I really want to be serious, if I may, just one second, and that is, International Podcast Day is built out of passion. It's behind the scenes is built on concern and appreciation for podcasting. It's for podcasters. It's about podcasting. It's about the medium. It's about the energy. It's about a celebration. It's like saying Merry Christmas, but instead we're saying Happy Podcast Day. And that's the approach I hope everybody takes in celebrating this year's International Podcast Day.
Fantastic. All right. Everyone, take a look at the website, and I hope that you check out International Podcast Day. Thanks for being on, guys.
Thank you.